Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's up, you mutts? It's another edition of Mail Time. It's brought to you by Roman. The Roman Empire was able to grow so big, so powerful, because they had nice hair, hard dicks, and they were fucking. You ever hear about, you know, those Roman, I think it was like more the Greeks, but whatever the Greeks do, the Romans do, because let's be honest, that's the same thing. You know, Greek, Roman, potato, potato, same shit. They were having those orgies, man. Everybody was getting their rocks off and feeling like all like confident and cocky, because it was like, yeah, we're getting laid all the time. We're banging everybody. So let's just go take over the world. You know, if you're out here having good sex, everything changes. It really does. It's like it's arguably the most important thing for your psyche, is getting your rocks off and having a healthy relationship and a healthy sex life. And so Roman, I think the reason why they named their company that is because you're going to take over the world if you use their dick swipes. That's what it comes down to. Do you want to, run the most powerful empire in the world? You can't do that if you're fucking for like 3 or 4 minutes. No, sir. Got to fuck for at least 9 minutes to be an emperor. That's a fact. You think that Constantine was lazy in the sack and bad in bed? A 1 minute man? I don't think so. You think Nero was? No, Nero was fucking for hours, okay? He would bang you out for like 60 straight minutes, and then he would go burn down the city for fun, all right? That guy did whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted, to whoever he wanted. Who else is an emperor? Who else was a Roman emperor?
Caesar?
Caesar! You know why he got stabbed? Sucked in bed. Caesar, they were like, we can't have an emperor who fucks for like 3 minutes. Somebody stab this guy. Brutus, grab a fucking knife. Brutus was probably getting fucked by Caesar because, you know, they were all fucking everybody. And it was like, boy, this guy stinks, but he's the emperor. I can't fuck anybody else. So I just got to deal with this like 1 minute, man. I got to kill him. By the way, I talked to Pat not too long ago. The whole idea of being a minute man when you're gay just kind of blows my mind. Like, if you're a bottom, do you want them to last a long time?
And what was his answer?
He said yes. He said, like, you don't want to just like, you know, late, like, you don't want to just get, you know, yeah, you want it to last, which I guess, you know, if you're thinking of like anal sex as something you enjoy, there are people out there who actually enjoy it. It's not just like, hey, we want to be kinky and I'm doing this thing for you. Mm-hmm. Like more like girls are in straight relationships. If you actually enjoy it, yeah, I guess you want it to last for a long time. But in general, I don't think anybody's looking for sex, anal sex, to last as long as straight sex. So if you're a gay guy, that's, you know what? That's probably why gay guys are always like happy and chilling, because they're getting laid all the time and they don't have the pressure. It's like, oh no, I didn't last long enough. It's like, yeah, this is all for me anyway. And then we switch and then I got it. You know, it's like, God, they've just got it made. Gay guys probably don't even need the Roman swipes, but the straights, we need them. So if you want to last longer in bed, or you want to run a fucking global empire, you got to use the Roman swipes. Go to getroman.com/mailtime. I'll tell you what, everybody has always said to me that I do these good ad reads because they're engaging, but they, you know, they get the message across and they get the conversions or whatever. Well, we're gonna put that reputation to the test these days, because I did one the other day on KFC Radio where I was talking about a home invasion where you kidnap the grandma and kill her, and it was off the fucking rails.
For what? For which product?
They're bird dogs. They
I literally had no idea. I was like, oh, maybe Simply Safe.
Yeah, no, they their whole thing is that they grabbed the owner, the designer of Lululemon, And I'm like, maybe they literally did. Maybe they kidnapped him and it was a home invasion. And we just went way off from there. So, you know, let's see if you still believe that now, Sales, when we're talking about fucking Nero banging people in the Roman Empire.
You're just trying to read less ads. You're like, I'm going to get fucking weird with it.
All over this shit. Go to GetRoman.com/mailtime. You can get the Roman swipes for just $5 and start fucking, you know, all day long, all night long. We got a lot to get into. First, a little behind the scenes talk here at Barstool. I just wrapped up not too long ago with Jason Whitlock on CCK, which was a big to do because he's been feuding with Casey over Twitter for the last week or so, involving this somewhat of an argument about sexism. I've never seen two people argue more on the same page than Casey Smith and Jason Whitlock. It was like, it was like a compliment battle where it was like, you know, I agree with your column and it was well written. And then Jason was like, you know, I want to see you succeed in your career too. But I'm like, what are we doing here? You guys are like on the fucking same side of the whole argument the whole time. But it wrapped up with Whitlock saying that he's just joking on Twitter. And I guess that's something he said all the time. He said, my columns are like my business and Twitter is like my joke, which is like, okay, fine, dude, you can say that out loud, but it's like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy. It's like, that's just not how it works when the rest of the world is like looking to your words and your takes and nobody knows it's a joke. But so I got caught up in this drama in a fight that I wanted no fucking part of from Jump Street, where I agreed with Whitlock like 100% of the way almost. But you can't say that, like, if you try to make a point and it doesn't really work, and then you just play the, hey, it was a joke, I'm out on that. So there's like people are calling me soft and Whitlock body bagged and this and that and the other thing. Anybody talking about that, go listen to that actual interview. I didn't get involved for like 90% of the time, but I did have to speak up on the it's a joke cop out or the
what did he say was a joke?
Like that doesn't work either. That was sarcasm, dude. It's like, no, it wasn't.
What did he say was a joke? What part?
Casey was saying that Whitlock, you know, that I guess I don't even know, man. Casey was saying that Whitlock's like point was that
What I saw Whitlock do on Twitter was he retweeted somebody, like probably like a troll, took a screenshot of Casey's Instagram pictures, and he was like, is this journalism? Which I do think was like, I mean, if you're saying it's a joke, I don't know. I think it's like, you can't conflate the two. You can't take her pictures out having fun with her friends and say, is this journalism? It'd be like if there was a picture of me playing beer pong and it'd be like, oh, is this producing a podcast? Right. It's like, no, I do other things.
That is where it all stemmed from. And Whitlock, and I'm not saying that that tweet was anything like devastatingly serious either, but it's just right. Not a joke. That was my, it was like, I don't think anyone would look at that and be like, oh shit, like funny joke, got him. It was just like, it's a picture where I think you were trying to make a point and now you're backing off saying it was a joke. You can say that it was lighthearted. You can say that it was like a throwaway tweet. Like, yeah, I was just throwing it out there. I'm not making a point. I'm not, it's a nothing, but to be like, yeah, I mean, he brought up George Carlin and Chris Rock. Like, what are we doing here? Like, now we're talking about comedy and stand-up comedians and like what qualifies as a joke. I don't give a fuck about anybody in this. Like, I don't care about Katie Nolan's career. I don't know anything about Maria Taylor. I'm out on the whole thing, but I got roped in at the last second just for speaking my mind about social media. I think it's an interesting discussion at what point do you have to just accept that social media is real life in all senses. Like I used to get annoyed or fight over social media in a relationship where a girl would be like, you liked this photo, you followed this person, you retweeted this. And I'm like, yeah, man, like that doesn't mean anything. And now I've given up that fight. I think you just have to accept that it does. It's like it's like, you know, if you were hanging out with a girl at the bar back in the day, You know, your girl's going to be mad about that. This is the new digital version of that, mm-hmm. where I still believe that you should be able to like interact with someone and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fuck them or you're like cheating on them or whatever. But you have to just accept that your vision and what you believe social media to be Well, the other 20 billion people who are on social media disagree or are using it in a different way. That's where, you know, I would love to just fire off all the jokes I've ever thought. And now I can't because I'm acknowledging that Twitter takes it seriously or won't understand that I am being sarcastic, won't understand that I'm not being, you know, that is not hateful or whatever. Because you just have to acknowledge that, you know, it's like the opinions of the many outweigh the opinions of the few, where it's like, if they, you know, everyone's going to take your tweets to mean this is what you believe. You know, when people put in their fucking bio, like, you know, retweets do not, what is it? Retweets are not,
or like opinions are my own. Yeah, yeah. Like tweets are, or retweets are not endorsements is something people say, but it's usually just like,
that's some old school Twitter shit. That's like 2010 Twitter, where, I mean, I guess you could logically be like, I want to talk about this. I want to have a discussion about this topic. So I'm retweeting it onto my timeline, but I totally disagree with what he's saying. I think that's where you can quote tweet it, right? You would just quote tweet and say like, this, here's the topic I want to talk about. So I'm putting it on my timeline. Attached to it is me saying this is trash.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
A straight up retweet is either like something that you find funny or something you want to share.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't trust that people are going to check your bio and be like, oh, okay, wait a minute. He doesn't endorse it the same way that I can't trust. I saw one of Whitlock's fans say, like, you've been saying this forever, dude. Like, we all know. It's like, I don't fucking know what Jason Whitlock's Twitter rules are. I don't know what his Twitter.
Everybody's got their own ecosystem. Every fan base has their own rules.
And so, like, yeah, in maybe that's true that your fan base finds it super funny that you tweeted a picture of a girl. But the rest of us don't fucking know that and don't care. So you have to at least understand. And you know, he came on and explained it. It's like, okay, I gotcha. Sounds good. But
It's like when Ari Shaffir just relentlessly goes in on every celebrity that dies. That's like a thing he does. And all of his fans love it. But like a lot of people don't know that, dude. So you just have to
And he's the type who just like doesn't fucking care. So whatever, rock on, man. But if you're looking for that to be. And Whitlock wasn't. He wasn't like, you know, like he's never looking for acceptance or anybody to like him. He just out there. You know, that's the one thing I do respect about Whitlock. He doesn't really give a fuck. He basically was like, you know, he was like, if a girl looked like me, she ain't ever getting a job, which is funny to just think that Whitlock's like, I'm fat and gross. Like no one's getting a job if you look like me, if you're a girl. But I just, when it comes to a relationship or it comes to you're getting your jokes off or your opinions off, I think you kind of, unfortunately, you either have to play by the rules or truly not give a fuck if anybody has a problem with it or wants to engage. Like to even be on the radio show trying to explain it, it's like, don't give a fuck or
play by the rules. I mean, I don't know. It's like he started this by voicing his opinion on some women that he feels like get by only on their looks, and then took a shot at Casey by like pointing out her looks again. So if I were her, I mean, I kind of understand her feeling like
it's also, you know, this is where it got weird with Casey, where it's like you do play up your looks. You're, you know, the name of your show is a double entendre about like sexy girls. What's going on here? You know, so I can understand where that gets confusing for people and they are kind of asking the question.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing for me is like, it's weird with Barstool to be 90% of the time we're joking, 10% of the time we're talking about some shit that I want to be taken seriously and I want to like have some, you know, civil discourse. And it's like, you can't really do that. You know, when most of the time I'm tweeting outlandish shit, tons of hyperbole, off color shit, rude and insensitive stuff. And then all of a sudden I want to be like, well, you know, let's talk about civil rights. It's like, well, what the fuck, you know? So I don't think you can pick and choose when you want a platform to take you seriously, when you want a platform to just laugh. You know, sometimes I want to be like, dude, it's just jokes, man. It's just jokes. And then, you know, they can point to the last week when I was not just joking. So how can you expect followers or even non-followers who are just seeing this pop up on the timeline? You don't get the benefit of, you know, you don't get the luxury of everyone just double checking. Are you in joking mode or are you in serious mode now before I judge your tweet?
Right, for sure. I just think that with the women aspect, I see Whitlock as just not understanding like the evolution of like the news anchor. Like, I think that somebody like Katie Nolan, she was coming up with Barstool. She was from the internet. And she, I think, is an interesting person and is not just a talking head. You used to just have to, like, know your shit. And yeah, now you can be more dynamic than that.
I mean, that's what sucks. I wish I could go back in time and grab Katie and have a conversation with her, because a lot of Whitlock's critiques, which I don't know, he was at Fox with her. So he was talking about some behind the scenes shit. I don't know, true, not true, exaggerated, whatever. But he was talking about how, like, she couldn't execute on live TV. She was butting heads with executives. And I wanted to be like, yeah, because Katie is like a young girl who came up in the digital era who decided to go down this old school route. Mm-hmm. And if Katie had just come to a place like Barstool or went out on her own, which was Guyism, or did it solo, but just embraced her more like don't give a fuck side, as opposed to trying to become a talking head, like you said, I think she would have thrived. I don't think she ever would have made $1.5 million a year. So who's really winning at the end of the day? Right. But as far as like her body of work, I think she, you know, started doing some feminist shit. She started doing some serious talk when I think she should have been like, you know, one of the knocks about Whitlock throughout was like that she was a bartender. If Katie just like had a series on like Barstool or on YouTube of just being like, these are my stories from a Boston bar, like the guys that I encounter, the girls that I encounter, the stories that unfold. And it's like the unfiltered access to a Boston bartender's mind who is hot. Like, yeah, that's also part of it. You're sexy as fuck. I think it would have been a smash hit. But she was like Regis on Crowd Goes Wild or whatever that was, you know, Crowd.
Right. I mean, I understand Whitlock's critique then, because it's like you did come to our arena. And Whitlock thinks you can't perform in that arena. You can't do what we are now all doing at Fox or at ESPN. But to me, I think you have to see the writing on the wall that this is all going the other direction. If ESPN has an ounce of an intelligence anywhere, they'll play the card that we've had Katie Nolan because we're ready to go that direction. And when they go that direction, they'll let her lead the way because they locked her up years ago. If I would get her just for, it would almost be like, you know, she's like a prospect still, because they're gonna turn the keys over to her eventually, and she's gonna be able to do like the more younger, interesting stuff. I mean, I can't say for sure.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where they go from here. I think in a weird way, it's very Sam Darnold and Jets-esque in a way. I think with a little bit more blame on Darnold. Like, I think Katie just went down a road that I think she would have been better at else. But again, like, if I was Katie, I'd be like, fuck off, guys. Like, right. I'm living the life. And now she's doing, like, Mina Kimes and highly, highly unquestionable, whatever the Dan Le Batard show is called now. Right. But she's, like, on TV regularly. And she's,
well, that's what I'm saying. I think ESPN is getting there slowly. We got there quickly. They're getting there slowly. And if you're an executive, probably, like, we need all of this. We need the people who can execute on live TV right now.
We'll try it out
with Katie. When it flops, that's fine, because we're going to keep her and we're gonna go that direction. It's like, you know, turning an ocean liner. It like takes some time. And if you have young people, old people, I mean, I don't want to, like, be an ESPN apologist here, but I just got that impression that Whitlock was like, you can't do the old thing. Like, you're not playing, why doesn't the NBA have centers anymore? It's like that, it's an old game that nobody really needs anymore. And I don't understand why you're holding everybody to that standard.
Quick side note, with Anthony Davis and Bam both being like centers, the two best players in the league right now, in the finals right now. And granted, you know, they're evolved and Anthony Davis is more of like,
you know, threes to win the game.
But it's like, yeah, you know, bad centers are not useful anymore. Right. Good centers are always going to be useful.
Could you imagine if they ran that play for Patrick Ewing? That play, outside the arc where he hits the three to win. I'm like, come on.
Crazy. Like, yeah. So, you know, he is a unique one, but let's relax with, like, the big man is dead. Good big men are still super valuable. But I would, to going back to the ESPN and Katie thing, I do think it's a lot like Darnold and the Jets, where it's like, at what point do you realize that you have ruined the potential? Because there is just so much negative talk and banter and opinions, and people who probably haven't even watched Katie's shit are now just going to jump on, like, the Whitlock opinion. Or at the end of the day, that contract, it's almost too big. Like, that's a lot of money. And for that number to be out there, whether it's true or not, I don't even know how much she actually makes. if you hear anybody in this industry making like $1.5 million, it's like, that's why people go berserk when you find out that Skip Bayless makes like five. And when Mike Francesa makes like 10, people are like, wait a minute, what the fuck? It's like, yeah, man, like this is an important industry. But when, you know, you haven't, but Skip is like, he delivers ratings. Francesa was number one forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough when you're making that money and haven't fallen into, you know, the top. It's the A-Rod effect. It's like you get $252 million. You have to be perfect. And if you're not only are you not perfect, but you've kind of like struggled a bit, you know, you're going to get a lot of criticism. And then that criticism becomes more of the story than you yourself, you know? At the end of the day, I would take that money, you know, if you gave me like a 5-year, $1.5 million a year deal. But then after that, let's say, and I'm not saying this would happen to Katie, but let's say that you're like ruined after that for some reason. Nobody wants you. You're viewed as a failure. Would you take that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what's the alternative. Like, are you talking about, or you're, you know, flipping burgers, or are you talking about you have what you currently have right now? You know, I mean,
yeah, I mean, she'll always.
Katie got a break pretty early. She was, I don't think she was like cake and money at Guyism, you know. Mm-mm.
But that is interesting, though. It's like you as you get older. I mean, I found my with the bills that I have and like the lifestyle that I'm living. You know, it's hard to make money. It's hard to be comfortable. It's even harder to be like rich. You know, that's why I'm in such a terrible spot when people are tweeting at me like, "You're rich, dude." It's like I am so not rich. Like right now I went on my American Express and I forgot that I put that summer house that I rented for a week on there. Oh, and all of a sudden I was just like, whoop, there's a fucking.
Well, listen, you just said you forgot about a house. So I kind of feel like that's going to put you.
Credit card that I was just like, I cannot afford this. So let me toss this on my credit card. And I opened it up and I was like, oh, this has to be more fraud. I was like, oh, nope, wait, that's a thing that I purchased that I shouldn't have. And now I have to pay it. And I am not going to enjoy doing that. So no, not a lot of money over here, but you know, it's just crazy to think that, you know, if you would have told me when I was like younger, like when I was a kid, here's like a $7.5 million deal. And the fact that I'm like, ugh, I don't know if that's enough. Like, you know, if that meant like it hurt my earning potential in the future, like fuck. And that's probably New York City for you. And that's just like divorce life.
Yeah, like I mean,
that are specific to me. Many people could make 7.5 work forever, but it is like, it's a rude awakening when you realize that, you know, you got to make a fuck ton of money to really be like, I'm good.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. I think somebody said somewhere that like, if you look at the purchasing power of a dollar in like 1965, the people making minimum wage would have been equivalent to like $70,000 a year. Like we're talking about like, the guy who makes your fast food would have like felt like he was making $70,000 a year. Cause you know how like you would feel, it was just like more people felt like they were at least getting by then. Whereas now, you know, you make 70 grand, you try and raise a family on that. You know,
I saw for the first time ever or something like that, this generation like won't make as much as their or more than their parents.
I could see it.
I mean, that's interesting to me because let me see if I can get that exact quote up so I know exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, and then I'm assuming, you know, we're talking about inflation and everything, but that does seem bad to me that like, you know, that I think we really had to fuck this up to be the case, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's just like the wage gap sort of thing, like how it's just getting more and more money is getting more and more top heavy so that there just isn't as much to go around. You know, when we think like how like companies used to exist where it was just like get a job, work at a company for 30 years, the fact that like inflation will keep going up, of course, you're going to make more money than previously. But like those careers don't exist anymore. You can't necessarily right. just be like, let's just jump into this. Or, and you know, not everybody would do that, but like a good amount of people would. Like, I'm just going to work for this one company and maybe like switch jobs once and go work for their rival because they gave me a promotion or something like that, but I'll be in the same industry for 30, 35, 40 years. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, whole paradigm doesn't really exist anymore. So I could definitely see how you may not be nearly as successful as your parents.
Yeah, only half of millennials are earning more than their parents.
Currently or at the time that their parents were their age?
The share of children earning more than their parents has reached the lowest point of record. I don't quite know what that means, and this chart is pretty vague. But like in general, it's not a good sign. I mean, I remember hearing what didn't mom tell us that like dad like never made $100,000 until, you know, yeah, like pretty like we were living in when we were outside of Philadelphia, had like a nice house and a pool and everything.
Yeah.
He was making like 90 grand.
Right.
And she wasn't working at that point. Right. I'm like, how the fuck did you guys do that?
Right.
And even if you like adjust for inflation and shit, I mean, I guess, you know, that is the difference of New York City and whatnot. But to me, it feels like, you know, making 75, 80, 90,000, even like you hit six figures and it's like, God damn. There's still a lot to be fucking, you know, a lot to do out here.
Yeah.
It's a daunting prospect for like everybody in the world right now.
Go vote. One of those guys will fix it, right? One of the two options we have.
One of them
has to be the right choice, right?
We got to talk a little debate. Now, I'm going to preface this with saying we're not actually talking about politics and the topics. I'm talking about the mechanism of the debate, which I find to be fucking so fascinating. I think even down to like how you look, like when people freak out about your tie color and what you're wearing and how your fucking hair looks, man, you got to have your hair on point if you're going to be out there on TV in front of everybody. I feel like Joe Biden should have walked right in to my girl, Erica Fleischman, and been like, we know homeboy's going to have like that orange toupee thing going on. I got to look my best. I got to be on point. Give me the Fleischman flow. Give me that damn good hair. And maybe I'm demented. Maybe I'm going to forget what I'm saying. Maybe I'm going to read like something off a teleprompter. I'm going to drop like a racial slur. Cause I feel like you could Ron Burgundy him and just like put an N-word in there and he would just fucking say it. Right.
Oh, for sure. So,
maybe I'll fuck all those things up. But my hair is going to look good. I'm going to look fresh because I've got the Fleischman hair shampoo and conditioner, so it's going to smell good. I've got the sea salt spray in my hair, so it's got some grit to it. I'm going to put the hair cream in, and I will look on point. That's the Fleischman difference. They have an entire hair care line. They have the multiple salons in New York City, but if you are outside New York and you want to live that Fleischman life and have that Fleischman experience, they now have the hair care products available online, so you can buy them everywhere. And these are professionals. She has dedicated her life to the hair the way that we here at Barstool have dedicated our lives to the content game. So if you trust in the way that we do content and the podcasts we do and the videos we put out, trust in her the way that she does hair, from the scent to the texture down to the way it works and how it makes you look. It is premium shit that is going to make you look your best. Your hair is like, for the guys, your hair is it's the number one. It's the number one thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, if Biden walked out looking any better than he normally does and
make a difference. I think
Trump just always looks how he normally does.
Being bald is bad. Bad hair is bad. I think the only thing worse than that is if your mouth is like a catastrophe. If you have bad teeth. But that's bad hair versus bad teeth. Teeth, it wins out. But like, if you have as long as you're normal, you have normal mouth, your hair has got to be your number one, because bad hair is like, ooh, geez, it's just not enjoyable. It's not appealing. And
good hair, I think, can make up for a lot of things.
Yeah, like, keep your mouth shut. Just, you know. Yeah, I got bad teeth. Yeah, my nose is big. Whatever. I mean, even like my favorite comedian, Tim Dillon, he's like, he's got a great head of hair. He's always like, it's the only thing I like about myself. You know, his body he doesn't like and everything else he's critical about. But you got a good head of hair. Girls can rub their hands through it. You know, it's something there. It kind of draws your eyes up from everything else. It's key. It's clutch. Make sure you have your hair on point. Right now, go to FleischmanSalon.com. That's FLEISCH SleishmanSalon.com/shop, or you just go right to the top and click shop and use the promo code KFC for 20% off. I've said this before, but they changed my life in what they did for my hair. Not that I think my hair is like amazing or whatever, but I went from real bad to, you know, passable. Let's put it that way. I was watching that video that we made in Minnesota a couple years ago where that we dug up that ugly ass picture of me, that in the blog. Feitelberg saw the picture and he ran around the room showing it to people, being like, can you believe he looks like this? I was like, fuck, I used to be ugly.
That's a real bad picture.
That's when Erica got her hands on me and was like, we got to fix this. Grew my hair out. Now I use her products. And, you know, like I said, I don't think it's great, but no one's running around the room being like, holy shit, look how ugly this guy is. Go to Fleischmann Salon, Fleischmann, salon.com, promo code KFC. The debates to me are, I mean, even so we did the Whitlock thing and it was like, producers were running in and people were filming because it was going to be a tense moment of banter. And that's, you know, on this small level, dumb argument nobody cares about. Can you imagine the stakes of a fucking presidential debate? I mean, I get like a nervous energy when it's like, all right, you know, the rundown's today and I'm going to have to defend my point about Deflategate. Like, let's go. Like, what am I going to say? And again, really doesn't matter.
It's a battle.
It is.
It's got the same energy as a rap battle.
And there's something really, you know, it's like, it's, you know, there's other ways to assert dominance, right? It's like, I'm stronger than you. I can lift more than you. I can beat you up. Like, all right, cool. That makes, you know, you're going to, yeah, you are. You can. And I'm speaking to almost anyone in the world. You can beat me up. You can lift more than me. Or, you know, in sports, I'm faster than you. I can jump higher than you. There's other metrics that certainly in a very primitive way is like, I'm better than you. But the one thing everybody can do is talk. You know, everybody can have their thoughts, formulate their opinions and spit them. So there's no, you know, it can be a man versus a woman, a big versus small. There's always these other mitigating circumstances where it's like, well, yeah, that's not a fair fight. Standing toe to toe and just talking, it's always fair.
Mm-hmm.
I might be smarter than you. I might be more educated than you. I'm more articulate than you, but you could have been that as well. There was nothing stopping you.
And like, you can even be right and lose if somebody else can talk better than you talk.
I mean, I talk about that with the versus battles in rap. Like, you could have the better catalog and the better music, but if you fuck up the way you present it, you could absolutely lose. The same thing with debating. It's like, you know, and that's where I think that the Democrats have like fucked up in a way. It's like, to me, you look at some of the things that Trump has fucked up or done. And it's like, boy, how could you not have capitalized on that? Because they're just not good at this shit. Mm-hmm. They're not good at it. Really, like you said, it's a battle. So it kind of comes down to talking shit and busting balls and getting jabs and getting oohs and ahs and laughs almost. It really is like a roast in some ways. And the left is just so bad at it that they have this, like, here is all the material in the world. And they fuck it up because they don't want to, like, stoop to that level or whatever.
But don't forget, the right is bad at it too. Trump is good at it. That's it. Yes. Trump rewrote the rules.
But
he's like, I'm just going to body these guys. I'm just going to maniacally destroy Jeb Bush every single time we step out on that podium. Remember, there was like 15 people on that podium, and he was like pointing right at Jeb Bush, and he just eviscerated the man. But normally, everyone was like, you know, you're not allowed to do that, and for whatever reason. We just started allowing it, and he annihilated
it. It's not about allowing. It's just like, you guys never did it. You, like, you were or you thought highly of yourself, and it's like, you can do this. Again, you can do this too. There are really no rules as far as I'm concerned with that sort of shit. I'm sure there's some debate rules, but as far as, like, you want to talk that shit, I think a lot of times, like, we'll do it here. I've argued with Dave over a million things and it's gotten personal, but we usually know, like, there's just a line that you don't cross, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like nuclear war. It's like, we've all got them. We're not going to launch them because, as crazy as I am, I'm not trying to have a fucking nuclear holocaust. Trump is like, let's burn it down, bro. I'll say whatever the fuck I want if it's going to get me a W. And what I think you're wrong is that I see the rest of his constituent, the rest of his people on his side following suit. Rudy Giuliani was on Fox and Friends today, just straight up saying that that fucking Joe Biden does drugs. Check his right pocket. He's got drugs in his pocket. He's just like, okay, I'll follow you, Donald. Whatever.
Whereas, no, I just meant at debates. We haven't seen anybody do a debate. But I mean, largely because we didn't need to see a Republican primary this year. But I'm just saying we haven't seen like people follow that course of action. Yeah, but you're right. Like the pundits, he has changed the game. Everybody can, you know, go at you.
It's so easy. It's so obvious. Donald Trump, when you call him fat, he goes and has a Twitter meltdown. And when you challenge his physical abilities, when they made fun of him for walking down the ramp, when they make fun of him for spilling his water, it clearly strikes a nerve. So just lean into that. I don't know.
But like, have you seen that work though? I mean, like, so he goes on a rant. You think that Biden could like make fun of him and what, hope to get him off his game? Because he's just going to stick to what he always does.
Sure. But okay, you stick to your shit and I'm going to stick to mine. And like the same way that everyone's like, Joe Biden is a demented idiot, everyone will be like, Donald Trump is a fat, sloppy, like can't, you know, physically not capable of walking or talking and lifting, you know, and just keep hammering, call him fat fucking Donald, call him dumpy Donald, call him, you know, make up a nickname that's actually good for once instead of the ones they try to come up with. The problem is they're bad. Our boy Roan, he worked on Drop the Mic or whatever it's called, where these celebrities come in and you have these rap battle like superstars help you and like basically write your lyrics for you. They're like ghostwriters, because they're like, here's how to do it. Here's how to get them. Like, look at them. All right. This is funny about him. He's ugly. He doesn't have good shoes, whatever. Let me write this for you. The left should go hire battle rappers. Get Roan in the building. He will make fun of Donald Trump. He'll also make fun of Joe Biden. He's for hire. He's a crazy fucking mercenary who can just make, he can eviscerate people. You have to.
Wouldn't that be funny if Biden like did it like a roast, which in which you also make fun of yourself?
Sure.
Like, imagine he was like, "Well, I know everybody thinks I'm demented up here.
The only person more demented than me is fucking Dumpy Donald."
Somebody should coach him up on that, because if he does stutter and stammer, if he were to be like, "Guess it's the dementia," and he really nailed the line, like he has to nail it. I can't do it either. But like, when you're funny, you're funny. And if he nailed that line,
it's a big risk. Super big risk. I don't know if I would do it now, because it's like, I would do that if it was like a Hail Mary situation. It kind of feels like it's going to be a coin flip in my mind. So I don't know if I would risk, like, because then you run the risk. I mean, Howard Dean, bro. He said, bia.
Yeah.
Right. He said, bia, ruined his life. Right. His whole fucking existence was ruined. So if all of a sudden, could you imagine, this is where you do run the risk of like Trump and them are so good at it. The headlines would be like, Joe Biden admits he's demented. And then the Facebook crowd runs with that. And your aunt and your grandma are like, can't vote for him. He's demented. But I agree that if he said humor and do it with like some, you know, like self-deprecation in a way, it goes a long way. But
or if Trump stutters and stammers. And
jump on him, and
he just goes, poof, talk about dementia. Look at this guy over here. Yeah. It would be like ether, but you have to, you know, you have to be willing to do it.
Interrupt him and be like, is that demented Donald? Did demented Donald come out to play? Place would go wild. And honestly, remember last time when Elizabeth Warren, I think it was Elizabeth, they put the ether beat over her at the Democratic primaries. Now, I know that obviously didn't work out for her, but in the moment, people went wild for that. I would have entrance music to my debate, and I would come out and be like, fuck Jay-Z. And like the ether beat drops when I walk up to the fucking podium. Like, it's on now, dude. Gotta get cocky with it. It's like, could you imagine someone just punching you in the face? Remember when we were kids, we would fight with the boxing gloves. We had boxing gloves in my house.
Two total.
Two, not two pairs. Two gloves, one set of gloves, a left and a right. And here I am with two whole hands. Here's my older brother, also with two hands. We need four. We only have two. So we decided to box. And what, you gave me the right-handed glove just to be nice, but you were like 9 feet tall at the time. At like 3 feet on me, because there was a 4-year age gap from like 16 to 12 or from like 12 to 8. And
I probably was punching an 8-year-old in the head.
Yeah, but I think we had some sort of rule of like, you know, we're not like throwing haymakers sort of thing, you know. Yeah. But if I just decided to fucking start throwing haymakers at you and you were just sitting there like, well, no, I'm still going to jab, you know, I would have pounded you. Like you can't. God, it was really so fucked up that you just sat there and just beat up an 8-year-old with fucking one glove.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't haymakers. It was just little jabs. I think you were throwing haymakers and I just dodged them.
Yeah, well, I think you were eight. Well, are you going to throw with your right or are you going to throw your left? How about this? What if I just started throwing my bare knuckles? That's the analogy I'm looking for. They're having this one-handed glove fight. It's like, you promise to only use the glove hand? Yeah, I promise. Pow! Fucking bare knuckle right to the goddamn face. You gotta get dirty, and they're just like not fucking willing to do it. It's like, well, then you're gonna get bodied in the debate every fucking time. Now, the demented thing is wild because they both are. They're both demented as fuck. And Rudy Giuliani, as he's making fun of Biden, calling him demented for stuttering and stammering, is stuttering and stammering. It's like, you're all old men. You're also all old and dumb.
Like, drugs 100% allowed. I know Donald wants to be like, I want to drug test you. I mean, when you're old, you got to take medicine, dude. Like, every old person needs to take medicine to get through the day.
Is there any rule? I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, it's illegal, but like, can you not do drugs if you're a president?
I don't know. I don't think so, except for like the shame, you know. It wouldn't look good, like, but I don't think that they can be like,
Obama like smoked weed. That was when he was a kid, they were freaking out about it. So obviously they would make a big stink if it happened in the White House. But if it were, but like my point being, Donald Trump was a billionaire in the 1980s in New York City.
Right.
The man has to have an addiction to cocaine.
Absolutely.
Did he? But seriously, like, did he kick his habit? At one point, Donald Trump had to have been addicted to cocaine. This is not me knocking him. Again, not political commentary.
It was the time.
You have to have done a ton of cocaine if you're a billionaire in the 80s in New York City to the point that your body probably grew accustomed to it. Does he just keep doing it? Does he have so much money? Or did he like kick his habit?
And I guess you would not be happy about a president making decisions under the influence. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, you don't think that like when Kennedy was like, had his finger on the button to launch the nukes, that he didn't have a drink.
Come on.
Like, he needs sometimes, like, yeah, these performance enhancing drugs. Cause I would like our president
performance
to be enhanced as fuck. I want it really, really enhanced.
Enhance. It's like, yeah, we're going to put you in the most stressful situations ever where you got to make the biggest decisions ever.
Yeah. People were saying that Trump is on Adderall. I'm like, I think fucking everybody should be on Adderall.
No,
like, kind of all the time.
Ren, everybody is on Adderall. The whole world is doing it, but the presidents are not going to be.
Go ahead.
Why would they not?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I guess maybe we can't have them drunk
drunk is questionable. But like, when everybody talks about aging in president years, it's probably because they're doing it straight edge. You know why Donald Trump hasn't aged? Because he's on drugs.
Nothing wrong with it.
He's fucking girls and he's doing drugs. He's like, yeah, I'm just living my normal life. That's it. I haven't aged one day. I still look like that weird fat orange thing because I haven't changed my habits at all. So I would love, like, let's do it for real. The debate starts. You walk up. Remember in Kickboxer or Lionheart or one of the million
Bloodsport.
Where you walk up and you had your gloves taped and you were like, am I going to roll it in the glass? Am I going to put it in like the tar? And all these like choices, right? You should walk up. There should be a big bowl and like 10 lines and maybe a glass of whiskey. And it's like, pick your poison. Are you nervous and you need to chill out? Here are some downers. Here's some whiskey. You want to get crazy? Like, I'm going to do a bunch of blow it. And everybody, of course, bottom line is Adderall. Like, everybody grabs that and you have your choice. And then let's fucking debate, man. Let's do it. Or we could do the Joe Rogan. I said when all those Joe Rogan moderator takes were going around, it's like, everybody do mushrooms or DMT or one of these mind opening drugs. And we're going to get to know you guys for real. You know, when you're seeing some things, it's like, okay, what do you actually think about minorities in the police department? And like, we're going to get your unfiltered fucking take. Oh, you know what we do? What's that drug in like Colombia, like the Devil's Whisper or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like a powder that you put in their nose and then they become like your slave. It's like your brain becomes malleable and like whatever you tell them to do, you do. Let's just do that. Hit them with a little truth serum and be like, now we're asking questions, brother. Now we're going to get into some shit. Did you see? They put out a list of questions that I guess they plan on asking Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last one was like in 1985 in a Senate appointment hearing, there was a fight and a debate. And you said the N-word 15 times because you were quoting someone else. You were attributing it to someone else, but you said it. Do you think that's okay? You think that's proper? And that's out there now. And I think that they're going to use that question. And it's like, how are you, if they're not ready for that one, to turn it around on Donald Trump, who has gotten himself caught up in more racial bullshit than any president ever. If you're not going to stoop to that level and hit the people with some fucking truth when you know it's coming, then like we'll know right away. If they don't nail that rebuttal, if that question comes out, then you guys are just not willing to play dirty. And if you're not willing to play dirty, why play at all? You're just going to get your ass again.
By the time this airs, the debate will have happened. Doesn't it feel like this one won't be like with Hillary? Actually, I don't know, because everything's so polarized. I could feel like the exact same thing could happen and the two sides could be like, we won. And the other side could be like, we won. But yeah. I also feel like it could be.
Yeah. That's tight. The other thing. Unless it like one person has a horrible performance like Bloomberg or some shit, just say you won. Just say right. You won and say it convincingly and don't make it look like, you know, everybody like a boxer, they all put their hands up like, yeah, I'm the one who won.
Right.
Yeah, I really mean it and just say it until at least your side believes it.
Yeah. I just feel like if it's anywhere in the middle, like if it could be 70-30 and absolutely both sides would be like, we won. But I also feel like it could be decisive. Like it could really go one person's direction. I don't know. It just feels like
I 100% expect Donald Trump to win this debate.
Yeah.
100. If it's just like, who do you think is going to like argue better?
Right.
Joe Biden is not like a.
But did you think that Trump won every debate against Hillary? I don't remember feeling like that. I remember feeling being like,
enough. I think that I also was not like taking it seriously because I didn't think it could fucking actually happen. You know.
But I mean, like you don't think that would have like filtered down to you that like Donald Trump destroyed Hillary Clinton, like he obliterated her. I mean,
yeah, probably. I mean, I think he kicked everybody else's ass leading up to that. Right. That was pretty like,
that's obvious. What I kind of remember. But I remember it just him being like, you know, calling them names and stuff like that.
I think that Hillary, though, was just so like, there is a difference when you're portrayed as like a Karen, where it's like not as, even if I think if she was making points, you're not as inclined to be like, oh, Hillary did it to him. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, cause she is just like, she's Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you said who you're saying who is better at arguing, clearly Donald Trump. I would have said the same thing about that over Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't be like, oh well, Hillary is a much more formidable opponent than Joe Biden. And yeah. I don't remember 4 years ago. Donald Trump killed him. Donald Trump. Killed him. I mean, everybody thought Hillary was going to win.
I don't ever remember thinking that Hillary Clinton performed well in debates. And I don't know who it was against, but I remember thinking Donald Trump can out-debate these people. Whether it was, whether that actually happened in the presidential versus the primaries, I don't remember exactly, but I don't ever have any sort of recollection of Hillary like dominating a debate. I think of her doing like her hot sauce in my bag shit, you know?
Right.
So like the reputation is there for a reason. And I mean, Sleepy Joe is like, he's going to drop the nicknames and you are going to stutter and stammer at some point during a, like cantankerous fucking argument. But if he does, that's not going to be good. Like they're going to pounce all over that. That's why I find it so interesting. Cause really what it is, the whole time you've been building to this, you know,
yeah.
you're planting seeds of like, he stutters a lot. Cause if he does that on TV, I'm going to jump on it. I'm giving you all these nicknames. So you know it. Yeah, so when I drop it on TV, you're going to go, oh shit, we're going to like plant, you know, we're going to, plant these seeds on Facebook so that when you see it play out, you're going to be like, oh, wow. And so it's not really even just about who wins tonight. It's about like who won the last, you know. Yeah.
But I also think it'd be interesting to see if he kind of like be-rabbits him, not necessarily by the way, remember Eminem like called out all the things, you know, I'll tell you everything about me first.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about that was that that was like flipping a battle rap. Like it was like changing the game. Like I'm going to make fun of myself. I wonder if he would, what if like he just sticks to coronavirus? Like what if he's like, I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about how you handled this. And then, I mean, I know that that's like, we're not going to wade into the issues or anything like that, but because I know that there's some people that are like, well, he actually did his the best he could. But in a debate, if you were just like, I'm just going to hammer one point, they want to talk about all these other things.
Yeah.
What if you break the rules? You know, because you know how Trump does that. You ask him one question, he just answers the question he wants to answer.
Well, that's
he does
the
whatever
problem.
He wants.
You can try. The problem is you need to stoop to his level. I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's going to sound contradictory, but I keep saying you got to like fight fire with fire. But the problem is you don't have the right fire. You don't have enough fire. So then you almost have to think of a different angle because what they need is to groom. It's too late now because either he wins and then he's out for his second term. Although, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you're going to have to do this again if he changes
these fucking rules.
What you need is to groom someone for 4 years on how to do this.
Yeah.
Because you can't – Joe Biden, it's an old dog, new tricks. He's been doing the political thing for – 1,000 years and now you're asking him to do a battle rap. You need to start grooming, I don't know, Beto or whoever the fuck is next to be like, when the time comes, you got to be grimy. You got to be dirty. That's why Akon's going to be ready. Akon's going to run for president and battle rap these guys. Because if you try to just stick to one thing, I think he'll stick to his thing. He'll just be like, oh yeah, yeah, but you're demented.
Yeah.
You know, but you are, you know, your brain is deteriorating. Yeah.
No, I just think it could be interesting if one of them does like pull a change the whole mechanism of the debate and be like, I ain't answering none of those questions. Right. You know, they say he's going to moderate. And if somebody was like, it doesn't matter who moderates, because I'm going to talk about whatever the fuck I want the entire time.
Yeah. And that could be perceived as powerful and, you know, assertive and all that shit. But they're going to hammer the taxes thing. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Everybody hates taxes. And if you told me there was a loophole, I would fucking take it. So, you know, it's like it's grimy, it's slimy, it's shitty. But unless he did something illegal, I don't think that's the card to play.
Well, it doesn't feel like a kill shot.
Joe Biden, I'm sure, is not fucking, you know, giving out all his money either. And it's the same. It's like Trump's not going to hammer that that like sexual assault case that Biden has. Because he's got his own. That's like offsetting penalties. It's probably like it's almost like Anchorman when it's like they're going over the rules for the big brawl and they're like no touching of the hair or face. And Ben Stiller's like, of course, of course. It's like, listen, okay, here's the deal. We're all racist. We all assaulted women, and none of us pay tax. Well, that's off the table. Everything else is fair game.
I saw somebody explaining because Bezos was coming under heat for that. Oh, Amazon hasn't paid any taxes or anything like that, and he was just like, listen. This is literally a law written down. If you reinvest your money into your company, you do not pay taxes on that. It's a rule. It's written there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and then somebody says, oh, are they doing that though? Are they really reinvesting it? Or are they just paying, you know, the people they want to pay? And they're like, listen, yeah, I mean, it's not, but it's like, if he followed the rule that was written, you know, if there's no rule against it, it's like Bill Belichick always finds something. And then the NFL has to be like, damn, we got to write a rule about that. We thought that like no one would do that shit. Now we got to write a rule. Fine, change the law. You want to change the laws?
Taxes right now for the rich are the Tuck rule, where everybody watching at home is like, what the fuck? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem like it should be that way. And Bill Belichick is the billionaire going, you're right, but hey. And then they change the rule. So, you know, maybe one day they, you know, the rich will get taxed at 80%.
I think that there's like a hypocritical thing to being like, you know, a lot of people who are Trump fans go after the people who don't pay taxes. They're like, we got to stop this because we pay our taxes. We want everybody to pay taxes. And then when they see that their boy doesn't, they find their own loophole and they say, oh, well,
yeah,
no, not, I mean, in case, not in this case, but it is what it is. You know,
I get hit with like, you know, you cheated on your wife all the time. I'm like, well, what did your boy do? You know, or this person's racist. Like, so is he, but they don't, you just pretend.
Right. You rewrite your rules. Yeah.
The fans of politics, which is what it is. It's you're a fan.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing that like Trump does where they're like, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. It's like, you proved something about my fan, my guy that I don't like. Yeah. Well, no, that doesn't count.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like there's some serious issues that happen in sports where your closer who you really, really need will do something terrible. And
fire a gun,
you're like, yeah, but like, but then we're trying to win a World Series here.
I'm getting tough. So, you know, we're going
to
deal with that.
And I really do think that some people have aligned themselves so closely to Trump that, like, he said a long time ago, I could walk down the street and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they would still vote for me. It's like, because it's your team. It's just like, you know, you take it. We hate the Wilpons. If the Wilpons got something together, thankfully we don't have to deal with it. But in 2015, we were like, man, if Jeff Wilpon is holding up that trophy down the Canyon of Heroes, whatever. I'll be cheering for, probably won't be cheering for him, but I'll be cheering for the fact that that happened.
Yeah.
If he can get it there for us, and now hopefully Steve Ballmer will do that, but
win, baby.
Yeah.
Just win. And it's more just like, I know that, you know, you're cut from this Midwestern blue collar cloth. You hate the crybabies of the coastal elites. And whether, even though I am one of those, I'm going to tell you I'm not, and I'm going to fight against them. So you rally. It's not even about him. It's about the, it all boils down to hate. Hate. America runs not
that's
on.
What it feels like.
They run on hate. And it's like, who do you hate the most? Okay. I will stand for everything that they are not. And so vote for me. And then, and it's like, but all, and all the other shit doesn't matter because I hate liberal Karen so much that I want to see her lose and I want to see her upset. Yeah. So,
I mean, Shaden frowned is where you're like just rooting. And it's how we hate the Yankees and root against the Patriots. And it's like, as long as the Yankees are in it, I'm watching baseball. Like I have a playoff team.
Yeah.
It's
every team
playing the Yankees.
I don't like the Indians the same way, you know, you don't even have to like Trump, but they're going against the Yankees. So now I'm the biggest fan of them. That's politics, baby.
You see people wearing shirts that say I'd like vote for a Russian before a Democrat, you know, like I'd rather be Russian than support than liberal. Yeah. It's like, this is how polarized this guy. It's teams, it's fan bases.
What a country. America, baby. The best in the world.